I have mentioned many times on this show that I'm a big fan of a show on True TV called Adam Ruins Everything. Adam Conover is the guy who started doing the show on the College Humor website several years ago, and then he signed a deal with True TV, did a dozen episodes or so, and they liked that so much they extended the first season to another 14 episodes. And now he's back with season two, which is going to debut on Tuesday, July 11th on True TV. Adam Conover, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, it's ironic that you're on True TV because since you and I last talked in October and today, you may have heard Truth has died.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think, you know, the truth can never die. There's always a state of affairs, you know, that's actual reality that's out there that we can learn about and know, you know. I think people are starting to worry that less people agree on what that state of affairs is. But, you know, that's our problem. That's not a problem with truth. You know, we got to work it out ourselves.
For people who don't know, Adam Ruins Everything. Each week, Adam takes on a topic or multiple topics that you thought you knew something about, but it turns out in many cases you didn't know, or you didn't know anything about it, and now you're going to learn something. He debunks things. He gets to the bottom of things. He takes what you may have heard from other outlets and actually researches them. That's an odd idea, and looks into them. What do you have planned for season number two?
Well, our premiere is called Adam Ruins Having a Baby, which is a topic that our fans have sort of been clamoring for a while. Because I'll tell you, you know, a lot of our show is about, you know, hey, all the pressure that society puts on you to do it such and such a way because they tell you if you don't, horrible things are going to happen to you, you know. We always try to dispel that and say, hey, you know what, the truth is a lot more complicated than that. Well, the area that happens really the most is in motherhood, right? Women who are pregnant or going to have a baby soon, they are inundated with information about if you don't do it this way, you know, it's going to be a huge disaster, you know, everything's going to go, you know, your baby's going to have a horrible life, et cetera. And a lot of that information is not based on reality. You know, what we talk about on the show is that, you know, this idea that women's fertility plummets at the age of 35. That's something that you see, you'll see it on morning shows, you know, daytime health shows, stuff like that. You don't have a baby before 35, you're doomed, and you can never have a baby again. That's not true at all. It's actually fertility starts to decline sort of slowly, you know, starting in your 40s. This idea that it plummets in your 35, not at all true. And the source of that claim is really weird. It actually comes from medieval French census records as a data set that claim was taken from. And of course, you know, there's a million reasons that, you know, medieval French peasants might, you know, not have been having babies after age 35 because their lives are different from ours today.
Yeah.
That's our big opener.
I would think that one of the reasons they had to have a baby by 35 was because they were going to be dead by 50.
Yes, exactly. Or they were getting syphilis, you know, or their husbands had died in some horrible war that was happening, you know. This sort of false tidbit is used to scare women and tell them if they don't have a baby, you know, by such and such an age, well, then, you know, their life's over, right? Or their chances of having a baby is over. And it's just not true. And so, you know, that's the kind of topic we try to do on the show where you can sort of take the pressure off of yourself a little bit because, you know, things aren't so dire as everyone tells you.
This seems like a perfect follow-up to the topic you did on your very first True TV show, which was the wedding industry.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's very similar. You know, for some reason, topics of love and marriage and sex and having a baby and these sort of like routine sort of life events have some of the most misinformation of any topic in our lives. I don't know why that is. But it really is true.
Well, it is said that three times when people don't pay attention to money and how much things cost are weddings, babies, and funerals. You've already debunked two of those, and now you're getting to the third one. I'm curious because your wedding and funeral episodes are kind of famous. Did you get any backlash from those industries?
No, not specifically. I mean, you know, I had a friend who, you know, came from a sort of funeral home family who was, you know, a little bit like, hey, don't say my, you know, my family's not ripping anybody off. They're nice people. And you know, I had to be like, no, I know they are. I know they are. And you know, we have our character on the show who's sort of the evil funeral director, and that's all in fun. You know what I mean? But, we certainly didn't intend to hurt anybody's feelings. But, you know, the fact is, it's not all bad folks. You know, it's just when claims are made about, you know, you have to do it in such and such a way, and you have to pay us a whole lot of money to do it, I think it's best when people know that that's not the case, so that they can save some money if they want, or do it in a more environmentally friendly manner, you know. If you want to be buried in a casket, if you want to be preserved and buried in a casket, that's totally fine. You can spend your money doing that. I'm sure people will always be buried that way. But there's no medical reason that you have to be. You could literally be buried in a hole in the ground with a shroud over you, as people were for millennia. And you would decompose fine, you know, and it would be, and you'd return to the earth, you know. And that's, you know, that's just a movement that people are trying to, you know, let people know more about.
Yeah, the real choice is really ashes or worm meat. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. We're all food for worms in the end, you know, that's all we are.
Now, you mentioned the environment, and I've got to ask you about another episode from last season that I know that you got some backlash on, and that was the one where you took on electric cars and you said they're not as green as you think, and you called the Tesla Model S an ecologically problematic toy. Explain that.
Sure. Well, here's the thing about electric cars. Taken in aggregate, sort of, you know, if you look at as a development, right, it's a very encouraging development. That we're now developing electric cars because, on the whole, they are more efficient in terms of how they burn their fuel, right? In terms of the actual efficiency of the engine, they are more efficient. Here's the issue. When people buy cars, they tend to neglect the fact that just buying the car has a huge carbon footprint, because you have to think about everything that goes into making the car, right? All the metals that are mined, all the production of the car, et cetera, right? And so the fact is, if you look at your carbon footprint, and your goal, say your goal is that I want to reduce my carbon footprint, that's my number one goal. Well, if you have a working hybrid that's in perfectly good working shape, and you buy an electric car, you're actually increasing your carbon footprint, because the difference between the efficiency of the engine of the hybrid and the electric car is outweighed by the fact that you just sort of like are responsible for all these emissions that were pumped in the air because you bought the new car. So the most environmentally friendly thing to do is drive your hybrid into the ground and then buy preferably a used electric car, which is what our expert says on the show. Now, I take a little bit of exception with is when, you know, electric car companies sort of say, you know, they present buying an electric car as always being a super green option. You're always doing a good deed, and you can pat yourself on the back when you buy one. That's not the case, you know. Sometimes it is, you know. If you must have a new car and you buy a used electric one, you're doing better than nothing, you know. Or you're doing better than buying a gas guzzler. But you have to think about that whole picture, right? We got some backlash from that because a lot of people who, you know, are huge fans of electric cars, you know, it's sort of a lifestyle choice for some people. You know, they just love their electric cars so much. And I get it. They're extremely cool. They took our video as saying all electric cars are bad and nobody should buy one, which is not the case. You know, our video said, hey, you know, go buy a used one if you absolutely must have one, you know. But the point of the segment was not to, you know, crap all over electric cars. It was to say that inherently buying stuff is not a green activity, right? We have this idea, and it's sold to us by the, you know, consumer product industry, that we can save the planet by buying. If we just buy, you know, recycled paper towels and recycled toilet paper and electric cars and, you know, whatever else, that's going to save the planet. And the truth is, that's not the case. We need to reuse what we have, use it for longer, and buy less stuff. Those actions are far more important than buying a new product, regardless of how green that product is. And that was the point of the segment.
Yeah, there's also another part of the electric car discussion that I think a lot of people leave out, which is, okay, you want to get away from the black gold, the Texas tea, the oil that has to go into that car and creates all those carbon emissions, and you think, well, I'll get an electric car, it won't have any of those emissions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. but you forget where the electricity comes from, which, unless you live near a solar or wind farm or a nuclear-powered area, you probably are getting that from coal. And so now you're making us dig up more coal and burn more coal. And isn't that creating carbon problems?
Right. Exactly. That's part of the issue. And, you know, in a large number of states, I forget how many, I'm going to say, because I don't have the information in front of me, we made that episode a year ago, but in, you know, something like eight states or somewhere around there, it's actually a little bit more than that, I think. They are powered enough by coal that if you buy an electric car, it'll actually be dirtier than a hybrid. Now, the hope would be you'd buy your electric car, and then over the 10 years you own that car, you know, that your state, you know, West Virginia or whatever it is, switches to solar panels and wind. And, you know, they might do that, right? But the fact remains, that's the important transition, right? The important transition is from coal to wind, not what you're driving. You know, if you live in one of those states and you really want to help out, you should be encouraging your government to invest in more wind energy.
Adam, two of the issues I hope you're not going to take on in season two are two issues that I never talk about on the radio because they're the kind of thing that only anger people and never change anybody's mind. And those are guns and abortion. Are you staying away from those?
I mean, yeah, we are. I'll be honest. We are. I mean, we don't do those episodes on our show probably for the same reason that you don't. Here's the thing. There's probably a lot to say about those using our format and our style. You know, if we wanted to, we could go in and say, okay, what are the crazy facts about guns that nobody knows, right? But it's very, very hard to talk to people about those issues. You know, if you go up to someone and you say, hey, I have an interesting fact to tell you about guns, right? They immediately know what they think about that topic. They're like, oh, ho, 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 what is it going to be, buddy? Because
yeah.
I know, do you agree with me or not? And if you don't, I'm going to be looking to argue with you, you know? And so, you know, those topics are so tough. I call them the fault lines of American society, you know? It's like these couple arguments that just we can't have a conversation about right now. People just fall into this chasm, right? And by the way, there's a lot of people talking about those topics on TV already. Every turn on CNN, turn on Comedy Central, people are already talking about those topics, right? So we try to do every other topic under the sun. We try to do all the topics that are just as interesting, just as important to people's lives, but which get a lot less airtime. You know, guns kill a lot of people. Gun rights are important to a lot of people. But you know what? I think criminal justice, prison, topics like that, those have just as big an impact, if not more, on people's lives. And people are a lot more willing to listen to what you have to say about them and have an open mind about it. So that's where I prefer to spend my time, you know, when I'm thinking about what topics we want to do on the show. Now, that's not to say we'll never do them, but they just have such an extremely high difficulty level that up till now we've been like, hey, let's go play in a different lane where we can do more good work for people.
Yeah, know? Put those down for episodes 1001 and 1002, and when we've done 1,000 other issues, maybe we'll come back to those.
Exactly. I think that's about right. I think it's about right.
Now, I praised you a lot on this show, and I really have to praise you for one show that you did that I thought was really special and taught me a lot about a subject. Again, I mentioned up top, sometimes you learn things even though you thought you knew all there was about them. And that was the issue, Adam Ruins Drugs, in which you really got into the weeds of the opioid problem in this country. And you talked about the pharmaceutical companies and this evil drug fentanyl that they've introduced.
Yeah.
And there isn't nearly enough discussion of this issue on a national basis, is it?
There isn't. I mean, finally, there's a bit of, you know, you hear the discussion of the health bill, you know, that's before Congress right now. They do argue about how much money is being devoted to the opioid epidemic, you know, but even then it's a struggle to get the money that they need, you know. And, yeah, I mean, it is really an epidemic that is, you know, washing through this country. And, yeah, it was started by the prescription drug makers. You know, that's where it began. Like it started with America getting hooked on prescription painkillers, and those painkillers were promoted really heavily by these pharmaceutical companies. And then what happened was they realized people were getting hooked on them, you know, Oxy and all the rest, right? And so they made it much harder to get them. They put them behind bars. And so what did all those addicts turn to? Well, heroin, because it was a lot cheaper, right? And now we've got, and now we have a heroin epidemic on top of an opioid, on top of a prescription opioid epidemic. And, you know, it's, yeah, it's really something. It's a really important issue.
And one of the things that I agreed with you on that show in, because my daughter went through the program when she was in elementary and middle school, and it drove me crazy, was why the DARE program, Drug Abuse Resistance Education, does not work. It used to drive me crazy, the lessons she came home and told me she had learned in school that day, which I knew were not the right message for today's youth.
Exactly. I was in the same boat. I mean, I had that program, you know, in my school. That was, you know, it was nationwide. That's one of the reasons it's really good for our show, is because for, you know, people my age, it's almost like nostalgia. It's like, oh yeah, DARE, I remember that. Well, guess what? It was filling your head with lies, you know. More importantly, yeah, it didn't work. It was found to actually, by one study, actually increase drug use. Because, you know, why? Well, because it really familiarized kids with all these fascinating drugs, right? You know what I mean? The DARE program even bullied the government into trying to suppress that study because they had enough political power where they said, hey, don't make us look bad, you know. It's really something that they tried to keep under wraps, and it was a government, you know, the taxpayer funded program for decades. It's craziness, you know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Jeff Sessions will bring it back. He seems to be a pretty big war on drugs kind of guy. Maybe he's going to bring back, you know, Darren the Dare Lion too. I don't know.
I hope not. Now we have been talking about things that you did throughout the 26 episodes of season one, and you mentioned at the top here that you're going to be doing having a baby among the topics of season two. What else are you going to do? And are you going to do Adam Ruins the Emmy Awards?
Well, we did, you know, last year we had an episode called Adam Ruins Hollywood, where we talked about award shows and all the money that's spent on campaigns and everything. You know, you watch those shows and you think that, the awards just being given out to, you know, whatever the objective judges determined was the best piece of visual art. But really, you know, there's millions and millions spent lobbying the voters for these. You know, if you're in L.A. this time of year, it's just wall-to-wall billboards saying, you know, vote for me.
So do they have them up? Is True TV spending that money on you to promote you for an Emmy this year?
That's what I was going for. They certainly are. They certainly are, sir. And I'm very thankful that they are. I would love to win an Emmy like anybody else. But what's really funny is the episode that they're sending out to show people, they're sort of putting it in the magazines, you know, sending it around to people's houses, is that episode where we ruin award shows. So before people consider whether or not they want to vote for us, they're going to see our episode about, you know, about the thing that they're currently doing. You know, like, hey, you're kind of being bribed, right? That's what we're doing.
That's funny. Okay, so I cut you off before I could let you tell us what else is coming up this season.
Oh, no problem. Well, we're doing an episode on weight loss, which I'm really really excited about. We're doing one that people have really asked us to do for a while. Is, you know, people always ask me all the time, when are you doing Adam Ruins Everything? When are you going to go through and tell us all the things you got wrong on the show? We are doing that this year. It's coming up about halfway through the season, and I'm really, really looking forward to it, because, you know, what I think it'll show people is that, you know, our show doesn't claim to have, you know, perfect absolute knowledge. You know what I mean? We're not omniscient on this show. You know, we don't have knowledge passed down from God himself. We're pretty smart. We're definitely hardworking people trying to find the best information we can to present it to you, you know, and we try to be transparent about our process. So when we screw up, we're putting that right on the screen so we can talk about it, you know. And those topics came right from, you know, the episodes that we've gotten pushback on, where people say, hey, you didn't get that right. The most embarrassing one was, we said that the Empire State Building was 12,000 feet tall, which is 10 times taller than it actually is.
Oh, no.
We just added a zero. It's crazy. Like, that's the kind, you know, you can make that kind of mistake sometimes. People are like, hey, did you notice? I thought you were all about the truth, right? So, yeah, that's a bit of a silly example. We got more important ones on the show. But, you know, I think that, you know, that's really important to help us, you know, build trust with our audience and let them know that, like, you know, hey, we're real folks here doing our best to find out the best knowledge we can. You can do the same. You can tell us if you think we got something wrong. And if we look into it and we agree, we'll cop to it, you know.
And
that's the intellectually honest thing to do.
And that's the difference, by the way, between the kind of content you produce on a regular basis, and I like to think I do too, and the people who create fake news. I mean real fake news. The difference is
right. We
will admit when we got something wrong and correct it.
Exactly. And that's the important thing. You know, I think if you want to know how good a paper is, for example, really important thing you can look at is, do they issue corrections? You know, do they have a corrections page? Do they have that sort of, you know, that sort of role? And you know, that's really, really important that they have that structurally, because mistakes are inevitable. Everybody's human. Nobody's perfect, you know. So that's one of my most important, you know, when I'm sort of thinking about anyone in the public eye, anyone in the media, if they can admit when they made a mistake, that's the most important thing, you know.
You can find clips of season one of Adam Ruins Everything and even some of the stuff he did before he was on True TV from College Humor. You can find that stuff on YouTube or lots of other places online. And you definitely want to set your DVR to record the beginning of season two of Adam Ruins Everything, Tuesday night, July 11th. On True TV. Keep up the good work, Adam. It's a pleasure having you back on the show today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, and let's do it again next year, huh?
Absolutely. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.